This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. It's getting spookier with this recorder. Oh, yeah. So this time it came up, but it wouldn't go into record. That was after I had restarted it two times. Then I shut it off, took the battery back out, put the battery pack back in, start it back up, try to get it into record. Hey, there it is. Anyways, busy today. We start small groups tonight, and I've got Aiden today. So it is 10 till 5. As soon as I make it home, I've got to get inside so that I can help my beloved with finalizing whatever other preparations we need to do for small groups. And then I have to hop in the car at around 5:30, 5:35, and go grab Aiden, get him back to the house, and then I'll have him at the house till probably 6:20-ish, 6:25, if Dustin doesn't get sent on some kind of weird task right at the end. And then everybody shows up at our house at 6:30, so it's going to be very exciting, but we'll get it done. I think I've pretty much decided that I'm going to slip in one more costume beyond what I plan to do this year. I actually saw a picture of a kind of gothic shirt that had these big bell sleeves on it, some ruffles on it, with a big jabot on it, you know, that was like full chest. I mean, it was very cool. It was kind of a extravagant pirate shirt, and it was black. And very cool looking. Looks like some kind of extreme swashbuckler shirt, and I thought, oh, that's fun. And so, and it reminded me of Puss in Boots. And turns out this year is the 20th anniversary for Puss in Boots' appearance on Shrek 2. So I'd been wondering what to do for Halloween, and I think I've pretty much decided I'm doing that for Halloween. So I've got the pieces coming in. But the particular shirt I had found isn't going to be, it was on pre-order and it wasn't going to be available for like 2 to 3 months. But I looked at it and I thought, that is not that hard to make. So I'm going to take a run at it. And on Friday, just pick up some material because I think I can make that shirt. I did order myself just a basic shirt pattern that'll get me most of the way there. And then I just have to make huge sleeves for it, but I think I can do that too, so I may just take this weekend, knock that out, and get the pieces in. And I got the hat coming in, and the feather coming in, and I've got the boots coming in, and so it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Looks like something worth doing. So that's fun. I have been experimenting with various things for the Pretend You're a Time Traveler costume. And that all seems to be going fun, but I don't think it's going to be as complicated as I initially thought. So I have a little extra time, so, you know, I can spin off and do another costume before the end of the year. So all of that's good. Writing is fine. I did disperse almost all of the beta books this week early. I still have to get one to my daughters and to a couple of people at Walmart and to one of the beta readers whom I mailed a book different than where it needed to go. So I got to get that done. But all in all, I think that's under control. So I've started on book 22. That seems to be going fine. Book 22 follows right on the heels of book 21 because there were things that were left unresolved in book 21 intentionally. So that allows us just to kind of pick up and go. So I'm getting those things resolved. So yeah, all is well there. Today, you know, it's like every week there's more stuff going on. And it's just goodness. Of course, we had another assassination attempt on Trump. And apparently, the legacy media has decided that it's all Trump's fault, so... Okay, sure. And then, I was watching a guy who's a lighting guy, and he was demonstrating how at the debate that they lit the moderators really well, and they lit Kamala Harris really well, but they didn't light Trump well at all. Surprise, surprise. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And one of the things that I got tickled at was supposedly there was some affidavit from a whistleblower who's a technician for ABC that he did a sworn statement that of all these things, he had a whole litany of things that he said he was watching happening, and I think he probably made the claim, like most whistleblowers do, that he's not partisan, but that he was just observing all these things, and they were wrong, you know, that they had fed sample questions to Kamala Harris. They had agreed they wouldn't talk about certain topics. They would agree that only Trump would get fact-checked. They had agreed, you know, to all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, it's pretty explosive allegations. Well, what's funny about that is that ABC News finally responded. And what they said was, we did not give either of the candidates the questions ahead of time. So, but the allegation was that they had presented similar questions. Not that they had given her the questions, but they had presented similar questions. And then there was a whole raft of other things. And they just completely ignored all that stuff. So that's going to be very interesting to see what's going on there. At the same time this week, what? A retired border official is talking about a significant increase in illegal immigration and how the Biden administration said, no, don't report on that. And then there was a Chuck Grassley is now claiming and alleging that over the course of multiple decades that the FBI had 40 different informants keeping an eye on the Biden family. It's like, wow. What in the world? What in the world? But I think the most interesting and significant development in all of this has been, and Jordan Peterson actually was talking to Vivek Ramaswamy about this, has been the number of people that have been coming over towards the Trump camp. Significant people. I mean, we already know about RFK Jr. He came over, and Tulsi Gabbard has come over, and Vivek Ramaswamy didn't necessarily come over, but he's... And you've got Elon Musk, you know, doing an interview with Trump and supporting Trump. And you've got RFK Jr. saying that he's going to come in and, you know, try to clean up the food supply. And Elon Musk saying that he'll come in and be a government efficiency. He'll head up a government efficiency panel to try to, you know, get some efficiency in the government, and et cetera, et cetera. And you just look at all this going, wow, wow. Is it possible? And unfortunately, I'm still in the camp of, yeah, I don't, it's just, the machine cannot let this happen. The billions and billions of dollars that the food industry makes, do you think they're going to let Trump get elected? When there's the specter of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. passing regulations and edicts about what they can and cannot include in our foods and changing their whole profit structure? Yeah, nope. Nope. That's not going to happen. Do you think the machine is going to let Trump get elected when it would mean that Elon Musk would come in and start running efficiency panels. Yeah, I don't see it. I just can't see it. What was interesting about Vivek Ramaswamy's discussions with Jordan Peterson was that Vivek Ramaswamy was saying that he's discussing with Trump as well, you know, where he could be of use and that sort of thing. And he was actually talking about, mind you, the federal government employs 4 million people. 4 million people. And people seem to agree and think that it's really bloated and has far too many people that are being employed by the federal government. But Jordan Peterson asked him, well, how can you fire any of those people without getting sued by all of the unions and stuff? And he said, oh, that's not hard. He said, all you have to do is prove that it was completely unbiased. So he said, there's an easy way to do that. Said, what we're going to do is, I'm not even going to stop for the mail. I'll get that later. He said, what you'd do is you'd get in office, and the first thing you'd do is you'd say, okay, everybody whose Social Security number ends in an odd number, you're fired. So right out of the gate, you just fire 2 million people. And then, he said, the next day, you say, okay, of the people who remain, everybody whose Social Security number starts with an even number, you're fired. And he said, that cuts 75% of the people. Just rips it down, 75%. Because you just wipe out the roles of the federal government, the executive branch, 75%, and then you start over. And I mean, it's just like, what? Can you imagine? That's why they just can't. They can't let Trump get elected. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens here. I should mention that there is coming up a rally called Rescue the Republic. It's going to be held in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. You can find out information about it at jointheresistance.org. It's Brent Weinstein, I think, kind of was spearheading it up. And it looks really, really interesting. It is on the 29th of September. So you should look it up and read through it. It's called Join the Resistance. I think it's jointheresistance.org is where you can find it. So lots of really interesting stuff going on. But I'm just still unconvinced. I just don't think we appreciate the depth of the forces that are arrayed against Donald Trump and anyone who would dare to be identified with him. But we'll see. Who knows? It was certainly a miracle last time that he won. We'll see what happens this time. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.